540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Hurricane Helene has weakened and moved on. A deadly Category 4 system, now a tropical storm as it spreads out across the southeast. It's dumping massive amounts of rain on Georgia. CBS's Dave Malkoff's been trudging through knee-deep
water. The storm is just so widespread. It's moving so fast, and it has so much energy in it that it's not just going to push through here in Atlanta.
Correspondent Skylar Henry is in Asheville, North Carolina.
Water has risen up already to right about the bottom part of my calf. Debris is already here behind us. We have seen wind really jostle us back and forth.
At least two people have been killed in Georgia, one in Florida. Leon County Emergency Management's Kevin Peters.
We're going to get out onto the roadways, begin cutting the debris, making the path so our responders can respond to emergency calls.
Millions are without power. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Unemployment in Wisconsin is down 2.5%. The State Department of Workforce Development says that's down from 3% in July. Joblessness went down in all 12 major population centers in Wisconsin since August, as well as since last year. Wisconsin school superintendent says budget-writing lawmakers should release $50 million to support literacy education. Jill Underly says the Joint Finance Committee's decision to hold on to the money is putting a burden on local communities.
They have, with good faith, bought new curriculum, have trained their teachers, but they haven't released the funding that they need to do this. And so they are footing the bill, and their taxpayers and their local communities are having to do it. And the money is there. It just hasn't been released.
Underly accuses Joint Finance Republicans of obstruction. She gave her annual State of Education speech yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two people from Milwaukee have been diagnosed with West Nile. It marks the city's first confirmed cases of the season. The news comes as at least 10 other human cases have been reported across the state, two of which have resulted in deaths. Public health experts say using bug spray and wearing long clothing can guard against mosquito bites, particularly at night when transmission risk is highest. A missing Milwaukee woman has been found. Laquita Ward is heading home after being found in Florida. How she wound up in the Fort Lauderdale airport isn't known, but she is being reunited with her family here. There's another interstate shutdown in Milwaukee over the weekend. Eastbound 894 will be shut down from late tonight to early Monday morning for resurfacing. It follows a similar westbound closure that happened last weekend. Drivers are being told to watch for detour signs and plan alternate routes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wild card round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. Wisconsin football is heading west today to take on USC tomorrow. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell said long trips present challenges, but doesn't expect it to be an issue on Saturday.
Traveling to the West Coast means Friday morning is going to come really quick, and we got to get in here. The guys got to, you know, get here and get ready to roll. And so that's different. But is it completely different? No. I mean, if you were going to the East Coast, it would still be early. It just maybe wouldn't be as early.
The game at USC starts at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. Wisconsin returns home next week to play Purdue at 11 a.m. And on Sunday, it's the border battle. The Green Bay Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff is at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeasterly to around 10 to 20. Tonight, breezy, partly cloudy, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible and a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
In a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. Your favorite day of the week, right?
Well, Saturday is probably my favorite, but Friday's a close second.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with Sunday, Cal?
Well, Sunday is now that football season. Yeah, football season, though, makes Sunday a lot better.
And so Sunday for Calvin is a day closer to Monday.
Yeah. Sunday, it's all coming to an end.
So by now, you know who that is. That's none other than my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, yeah.
The weather's beautiful, huh?
You know, our weather's been fantastic. Unlike the weather in Florida, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, all these people from Wisconsin who want to go down to Florida, their property is possibly knee deep in water right now, and flood insurance is damn near unsupportable. It's so expensive.
So I was listening to Fox News yesterday, and as I do from time to time, and they were saying, that was this morning, where is Kamala Harris? And Joe Biden, these people have been flooded out. And where's the government on this? And Sandy, I got to, wait a minute. Since when did the government step in first with disasters? Local first, right?
Well, local, then FEMA, but, you know, and then, of course, there was Donald Trump.
They cut the FEMA money.
It was Donald Trump handing out toilet paper and paper towels in Puerto Rico about 3 weeks late after they had their disaster. You know, they would just like to curtail their activities, I suppose, and set them down in Florida and try and blame them for the bad weather, you know, try and connect the names.
Sandy, during the budget issue, I remember distinctly Republicans wanting to cut FEMA's money. Remember that? We had discussion on the air.
Oh, yeah. Every time there's a budget dispute, they tend to put FEMA up there as being something that might need less funding, until the bad weather is in their neighborhood. And interestingly, the climate change and the weather conditions are probably affecting red states a lot more than they are blue states, you know, in terms of the impacts. And one of the reasons we should be considering spending money to avoid climate change is you can see how expensive weather disasters are when they happen. I mean, they cost enormous sums of money. I guarantee you that Naples, Florida, which is flooding, the main streets of Naples are flooding. That's a very expensive territory.
I got a buddy that lives in Naples, and time to time
Naples has turned into Venice.
Yeah,
canals instead of streets.
With all the different hurricanes that have come down the pike, they have been spared. Naples hasn't been hit as hard as most, but this time I guess it must have got them.
Well, St. Petersburg and Naples both have got terrible flooding. The surges were very high. The weather, and now the hurricane's moving inland, and it's moving slower, which means that it's going to dump torrential amounts of water, if not damaging with winds, damaging with lots of water as it cuts its way back into the inland portions upstream from Florida.
So this is hurricane season, right?
Apparently it is.
Yeah. And so, again, just constantly this refrain about where's Joe Biden? Where's Kamala Harris? No president is going to respond the day after any.
Well, I think, first of all, presidential appearances at these places are maybe morale building and they're photo ops, political photo ops. But it's not like the president actually solves the problems that exist. We've got professionals who do that, FEMA and organizations like that. So this is, again, form over substance completely. You know, the notion that this is an issue, that these people ought to be follow, what they should be like those tornado chasers. Maybe that's what they want. They want a president and a vice president who are in these vans chasing tornadoes and bad weather around the country.
So, Sandy, these people said, well, when Hurricane Katrina came, the government was there.
Oh, actually, that was the Brownie. That was nice job, Brownie. I think.
But I guess the point I'm making, Sandy, is these people that they have on these shows,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be factual, right? There doesn't have to be any truth tied into anything they say.
No, it's all this politics, this form of politics. In The Odd Couple, there was a line where the guy threw spaghetti up on the wall to see how much would stick, right? That's all that's happening now. They're just throwing spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks in terms of making allegations or making political claims or creating political issues. It's all just, let's see what sticks.
And so, from time to time when I watch this stuff, now I don't watch that, what's the name of the Max thing?
Huh?
What's the name of that other Republican?
Newsmax.
Newsmax. That's a much poorer version of Fox News. I watch the original.
Newsmax is without fact, right?
No.
I think, it seems to be the source of conspiracy theories and anything that sticks.
But I just, for the life of me, Sandy, you watch, and I'm watching it, and when I'm watching it, I already know what I'm watching when I'm watching Fox News. I know exactly that these people are all, basically, they get the script. And so they get the script. It's the same script, and they're all, they all respond to what's on that script.
Yeah,
they don't independently say much of anything.
No, I mean, I don't know where the source of it is, but, all the trolls that call in and the people, everything seems to operate from the same talking point script. It's not clear how the talking points get out there each morning, but there's a lot of consistency day to day.
Yeah, it clearly is. And I was incensed, but. What do I expect if I'm watching Fox News the first thing in the morning?
Well, I try to avoid watching news because my view is that something has terribly polluted the whole visual news programs to the point where everything's biased,
Well, so let me, because here's what the problem is with it all. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Who needs a 24-hour news? Why do we need 24-hour news?
In fact, I spent 2 days being a on CNBC 24-hour news, sitting there as a anchor buddy, they called it. I was an expert on the Enron situation, and I watched how desperate they were to fill 12 segments an hour all day, right? So, yeah. You know, the process, it was interesting, but the things that became newsworthy were things like Tony Soprano's house burned.
Yeah.
And so the day I was on, the house that opened up the Sopranos, that TV house was an actual house, and it actually caught on fire, and that actually was big news. And I think that another situation was the president choked on a pretzel. became a big news issue.
Well,
George Bush the Second.
Well, you know, it's one of the reasons why, to Fox's credit, they knew that the only way to pull this off was to have some eye candy.
Well, oh gosh, I wish you hadn't even gone there. Well, to get back on track,
I know.
Fox News knew and learned that what you do is you feed the audience what they want to hear. That's what entertainment is. That's not news. That's entertainment. And they shifted from news to entertainment early in the process, and threw the listener exactly what made the listener excited, what made them want to watch more. They threw them what they needed to hear, not what they needed to hear. Okay, news should be what people need to hear, not just feeding them what they want to hear.
No, and again, 24-hour news cycle, 7 days a week. It's just unnecessary. It is unnecessary, and I don't know. Maybe there are people who, people may say, hey, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week of the Earl Ingram show is unnecessary.
It's easier to fill 2 hours than it is to fill 24 hours. I mean, just think if we were on for 24 hours, how far off the beam we could get.
It is pretty amazing. And then earlier in the morning, they've got the much weaker host than they do their flagship host.
I just can't believe you went there, Earl, the eye candy thing. But I do think that they obviously have that in mind in the hiring process. It's much like, you know, I'm just going to stop talking. That's a whole thin ice thing.
Well, I mean, am I sounding like Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I think you're not, because he would. Yeah. Actually.
Wow. 844. No, excuse me. 855-752-4842. The number to call is 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm proud to be voting for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin.
Across Wisconsin, people are standing up for Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin because they stand up for us, taking on the big drug companies, lowering the cost of insulin and prescription drugs. They've even cracked down on greedy corporations to put an end to price gouging and surprise medical billing and made sure no insurance company can deny you coverage for having a pre-existing condition.
Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting for people like me.
and all of my friends and everybody else I know.
Now, extremist politicians are trying to take away our basic freedoms. But Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting back, protecting our freedom to choose and our right to vote.
A lot of people fought and died for these rights. My parents, my grandparents.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I am going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. They are fighting for me.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
October 12th and 13th is Waukesha Unlocked. The doors to more than 80 businesses, restaurants, and churches will be unlocked to highlight the city's architecture, history, and behind-the-scenes operations. Tour the city clean water plant or booster pumping station. On Saturday, Bill Quackenbush talks about the history of the Ho-Chunk Nation and the significance of the mounds at Cutler Park. Don't forget to turn in your trail challenge cards at City Hall to be put into a drawing for great prizes. Visit Waukesha Unlocked headquarters at City Hall between 10 and 4 on Saturday or Sunday for more information.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. Cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque, she'll be working. She'll probably stop at lunch and give me a call.
Like, all right, we can't let it go on forever. But, yeah, it's a, the song is, and the lyrics of it, very riveting and touching.
Yeah, well, music today is about the swing states. So this one's about Arizona, Phoenix.
But, all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that 855-752-4842. That's the number now. 855-752-4842 if you want to reach us. And so we were talking a little bit, Sandy, before we went to a break about, you know, the news media and 24-hour news cycles, and especially focusing on, you know, Fox News and the fact that there doesn't have to be any truth at all in it. And so we've got Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Happy Friday, everybody. You know, I want to talk about Fox News for a minute. Last night I turned it on. And I like you, like to visit Fox News from time to time because I have a genuine interest of what they have to say. So I turned on Hannity last night, and they had Newt Gingrich on, and Newt Gingrich says, as the ex-speaker of the House, he says the only way the Democrats win Pennsylvania is if they steal thousands of votes out of Pennsylvania. That's what he said. So this narrative of steal the vote and, you know, the big lie, it's not even dormant anymore. It's been revitalized. It's being rehashed out there. And to me, when many of these things, if pushed back properly with educated people, can be put to sleep or put to rest within a couple minutes. For example, they talk about the cost of energy, and you know, the cost of energy is high. Nowhere on Fox News, quite frankly, on CNN either, or MSNBC, have I heard them revert to Saudi Arabia right after COVID, drastically cutting productions,
right,
and keeping the price way up. As I recall, they cut production by 2.1 million barrels a day, and it's still in place. And again, that's what happens when we have cartels, you know, that operate our energy system. They manipulate the pricing. There's not much we the people can do other than squawk about it and hopefully organize. But to finish my point, many of the falsehoods that we hear continuously on Fox News and others can be put to sleep within a minute or two if we just had, I don't know, the knowledge or the ability to shoot back and put this stuff in its place, which is in the garbage can.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to touch any of that?
Well, I think the main thing is the factual basis, the testing of it, the stolen votes comment. It surprises me. Newt Gingrich, after January 6th, was actually quite critical of that whole process. But clearly he's buying into the Republican strategy, which is to lay open just the open question of the notion that votes are somehow at risk, votes are somehow being stolen, votes, you know, this there's no factual basis. You know, the last election, there were 60 adjudications or more. Not one of them revealed any sort of factual basis for the notion that votes were being stolen, that there was any fraudulent process. But,
well, you know, here we are 4 years later, and at 9:30 today, we're going to have Ken Blackwell. He's a former Ohio Secretary of State. But that's not what's important. What's important is he is America First Works Senior Advisor, Chair for Election Integrity of the Trump Campaign, will be joining us, Sandy. And it'd be interesting to see when you mentioned to him that there hasn't been much proof of stolen votes or any of those things that they're talking about. Let's go to Al. Good morning to you, Al. How you doing, sir?
Is this Motown Friday?
You mean Glenn Campbell isn't your flavor, Al?
Hey, Al,
I heard that song by a lot of people, but that one tried to almost put me to sleep. Anyway.
Hey, Al, is that a mild attempt at humor?
Well, I think he got there.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Hey, no, man, no.
I just wondered if this was Motown Friday. It didn't sound quite right.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy.
You mean Glenn Campbell isn't from Detroit?
855-752-4842 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
And she'll cry just to think I'd really leave her. Though time and time I've tried to tell her so, she just didn't know I would really go.
The Shaw, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pro-democracy groups are calling out the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot out of the public's reach Sunday. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He says it's as bad as a mayor going into a polling place and removing a tabulation machine.
Stunts like this only sow seeds of doubt into the security of our elections. This makes people think that their vote does not count. The truth is that your vote matters in every single election.
The Marathon County District Attorney is looking into whether Doug Diddy broke the law. A complaint has also been filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wisconsin businesses say health care costs are a burden. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's new survey shows 85% of Wisconsin businesses reported health care costs going up 10% or more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Former Milwaukee Buck star Junior Bridgman has come full circle. He's officially joined the team's ownership group as a significant minority owner. Bridgman, whose jersey hangs in the Fiserv Forum rafters, played 10 seasons with the Bucks. After building a business empire post-retirement, Bridgman says he sees the opportunity as a chance to inspire current and future players who dream of NBA ownership. A new search effort for Isaiah Kramer is set for October 12th in the town of Vernon. He's the 17-year-old missing since February. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Department said last month that DNA testing found that headphones discovered in the woods near where he went missing was connected to Isaiah. He was last seen at Norris School in Maguanago without his cell phone, money, or medication. Volunteers are being recruited for a search on the 12th to cover about 200 acres of challenging terrain. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the movies this weekend? Here are a few options that hit the big screen. First up, it's the highly anticipated The Wild Robot. If you love movies about robots that get stranded on deserted islands, then The Wild Robot is your film. The story follows the adventures of Roz, a robot who has to endure harsh conditions after being stranded on the island and befriending a gosling. As you can imagine, it's a family-friendly film. The critics are raving about it. It's currently pulling a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Francis Ford Coppola's 40-year, $100 million project Megalopolis also hits the big screen in wide release this weekend, but to uneven reviews. The legendary director's passion project is pulling about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it's graphic horror you're in the mood for, check out the Demi Moore film's The Substance. The film explores trying to make a better version of yourself by using, you guessed it, The Substance. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeasterly to around 10 to 20. Tonight, breezy, partly cloudy, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible and a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
I'm proud to be voting for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin.
Across Wisconsin, people are standing up for Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin because they stand up for us, taking on the big drug companies, lowering the cost of insulin and prescription drugs. They've even cracked down on greedy corporations to put an end to price gouging and surprise medical billing and made sure no insurance company can deny you coverage for having a pre-existing condition.
Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting for people like me and all of my friends and everybody else I know.
Now, extremist politicians are trying to take away our basic freedoms. But Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting back, protecting our freedom to choose and our right to vote.
A lot of people fought and died for these rights. My parents, my grandparents.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I am going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. They are fighting for me.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dorothy Harms from the Farmers Angel Network joins us, as well as Dan Schaefer at 11 o'clock, and another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Georgia, Georgia.
The Sproul. Whole day.
Just an old sweet song.
You know, they refer to these as oldies but goodies.
Yeah. That's what we are. Huh?
Yeah, well, this will forever, yeah. You know, if, you know, 100 years from now, somebody played this tune, just listening to it, they'll say there's something special about it. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. 855-752-4842. Forgive me. It's going to take me a little time. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're talking just for a couple more seconds or minutes about, you know, what we expect these different news outlets and the kind of news that we are getting. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Sandy looks especially snappy this morning.
yeah, he got a haircut, man.
I wanted to make, and he's got a sport coat.
Yeah, he looks dashing, right? He looks dashing.
Yeah, he looks like you're heading for court or something. Anyway, I just wanted to make a quick 2 points. One on the Fox News thing. I call it Trump crack all day. That's all Fox News is for these people. It's their Trump crack. They got to get their crack, and then they tune in for a couple hours and tune away, and then maybe after dinner they like some crack, and so that's what they do with that. The second point is on this whole thing that you guys were talking about with the election being stolen already. Listen, everybody, as far as, and this is only my opinion, this is all so that the election ends up back with the Supreme Court that he put together. So he'll hope that the election ends up in their hands, and then we'll end up with another Florida Chad situation like we had years back. And, you know, I mean, that's what they're doing. So they're going to start the lie now, then they're going to do the court thing. But this time it's heading to the Supreme Court to be decided. And if the Supreme Court ends up cheating us like they cheated us out of Roe v. Wade, and they're trying to cheat us out of every other right we fought for women and for everyone. You know, they don't want the Civil War coming from the left, I don't think. But anyway, that's just my thought on it. I think they want to end up in the Supreme Court.
Well, thank you, man, Brendan. Now, I don't believe that the Civil War will come from the left. You know, I don't see, Sandy, people from the left mobilizing and organizing to say, what do we do if Donald Trump wins? You know, I could be wrong, but I don't foresee that.
No, the most remarkable thing I've ever heard anyone say from the left is that they want to get out of the country.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything like vigilante kind of organizations. It doesn't seem to exist. I think the whole Antifa thing was a little bit of a figment of an imagination in terms of it being anything like a widespread movement. But, you know, I think hopefully we won't get to that. You know, we'll have an election that is not subject to being overturned by the Supreme Court. And we'll get through this smoothly. But I guess I'm an optimist.
Yeah. And you use the verbiage hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's really, we're kind of there, right? We're on pins and needles because of, you know, where we are. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, we have got to get big money out of politics, dark money out of politics, all lobbyists out of politics. Okay, so we got throwback Newt Gingrich, who basically tried to destroy this country back when Clinton was president, who started this whole faction thing with Republicans on one side, Democrats on the other side. He's the one that started all of that. Second is this the guy from Ohio that you're going to have on the air who I believe also disenfranchised many voters, mostly voters of color, even though he's a person that's black, in Ohio with John Kerry. So I don't know. Again, whenever they come up with their voter integrity, name of their group, or, you know, whatever it might be, it's always, you know, Blue Sky Initiative, whatever it might be. Just be a little weary of that, folks out there, because you know what's coming is probably the most anti-environmental thing or the most anti-election thing you can see. So when this guy comes on the air, please don't don't give him like credit for his being this voter champion or something like that, because he's not. He's the guy that actually took Ohio away from the Democrats years ago.
So let me explain the reason for having him on. You know, it's one thing to talk about what the other side is doing and proposing and to read about it in the news. You know, on laptops or anywhere else, is another thing altogether to hear it from the horse's mouth. And I'm a person who's always believed it is more interesting to hear it from the horse's mouth. So unlike conservative stations and others, I've always thought the best radio is having the conversation from the other side. And so that's the reason that he's going to be on. That's the reason why, you know, I'm going to have even more folk from the other side on, because the Amen Corner gets boring after a while. I know that from having listened to radio over 40 years. And so, you know, that's why he's going to be on, and there are going to be others on, and we can interact and have conversations with them. Let's go to Bob, Wisconsin's East Coast. Good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl. Morning, Sandy. You've been mentioning this one particular media station, and I want to lift up another one that just might be more advantageous for everybody, and that's Scripps News.
Yes.
I'm watching it on 55.6 on my TV. And just wanted to lift that up for you, to just so that this other organization gets that I won't mention the name of gets some competition.
Well, Bob, you know, you're a guy who can do more than one thing at a time. You're watching the television and you're listening to us, so you know, I can't say that's a bad thing, man. Thank you very much for the information. Really appreciate it. Hey, Calvin, would you read those texts from John K., please?
Yeah, sure. He says, I agree with Brendan. If it gets to the Supreme Court and they steal it, I think all bets are off. I have family members making safety plans for the day following the election, regardless of the outcome. I don't blame them, but how sad is that to plan safety from feared violence following an election in the United States of America?
You know, Sandy, that's where we are. Can you imagine that we have reached a plateau in this nation where people are afraid that after they cast their votes, they're afraid that their fellow countrymen are going to do something crazy? How did we get here?
Well, the path has been pretty clear. It's been agitation, and it's been agitation at the level of national leadership who have fomented this kind of fictitious crisis. And it turns out that a crisis is a crisis, whether it's based on fact or fiction. If people believe it, and if people are stoked up about it, then you end up with being endangered, you know? And unfortunately, we've had years of this. We've had almost 10 years of overt questioning about the legitimacy of a campaign process. We've had 10 years of people talking about something being rigged. Something is rigged if someone secret is in control, right? Rigging, but the connotation of that is that there's secret people. There's someone behind a green curtain. There's a Wizard of Oz who's rigging things against me. And we've got a whole political movement who has been persuaded that the establishment, the political establishment, is rigged against them. And if they lose, it's not because they lose legitimately, because they believe that, have been told to believe that they will only lose because of a process that has been, quote, rigged, unquote, without ever explaining what this rigging looks like. You know, what is it? What is it? How does it work? Who is it? What are they doing exactly, functionally, to rig the process? But rigging has become a term that's a term of art that requires no definition whatsoever.
You know, Sandy, I'll tell you, for 20 years that I ran the football league, I would tell coaches, oh, the referee cheated again. I would say, man. So to sit back and you lose a game, and these one play, and you say the referee cheated one, you had the whole game. How many mistakes did you make? To turn around and point the finger at somebody else because you lost, it's cowardly. Sandy, it's cowardly of people to say, of Donald Trump and others and other Republicans who will say, and even the gentleman that we're going to have on, he's going to try to explain something, Sandy, that he's never going to be able to explain to you and I and others, that he can somehow make that fact. He's going to give us some rhetoric, but there can't be any facts associated with it because, as you stated, this has been tried.
Yeah, I mean, there's been no description. Donald Trump never gets pressed for the second question. When he says something is rigged, someone needs to say, really? How is it rigged? Tell me about that functionally. Who is rigging it? Who's calling the shots? And what is it they're doing? You know, are they, you know, are there really van loads? He continues to talk about the ballot vans in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Even though that's absolutely been disproven. I mean, it's not that it's a question mark about it. No. It was proven in court that there was no such thing that happened.
Illegals are voting.
Yeah.
Dead people are voting.
Yeah, the whole notion of illegals voting as if this is something that was rampantly carried out. No, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that there's any sort of substantial number of people who are non-citizens who have been allowed to vote in the federal elections.
And many judges who were appointed by Donald Trump himself.
Yeah. Much of the litigation, I don't know if it was a majority of it, but a significant portion of the litigation was carried out before Trump appointed judges, all of whom ruled against him.
Yeah, so, you know, you can't. Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
The sky is purple. The sky's purple. It's purple. Oh. Look outside. If you don't see purple, there's something wrong with you. The sky's purple. Look out there right now. Come on, everybody. You can see it. It's real because I say so, and every station says it. And guess what? If you have a guest on that's promoting this kind of stuff, we're going to hear it again and again. I used to listen nonstop to talk radio, and it was supposed to be in the middle, but it was on the other side because they overly wanted to give it to the other side because they wanted to be fair. Listen, there were so many lies spread. There was a person running against Scott Walker. The day before the election, they were all calling in saying how she was fired from her dad. I couldn't believe it. And I checked out the vote results in my area, and gal darn it, didn't they turn against Mary Burke.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Let me be clear. I'm not having this guy on to be fair. That's not the reason we're going to have him on. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you will be back.
I said just an old sweet song.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm proud to be voting for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin.
Across Wisconsin, people are standing up for Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin because they stand up for us, taking on the big drug companies, lowering the cost of insulin and prescription drugs. They've even cracked down on greedy corporations to put an end to price gouging and surprise medical billing, and made sure no insurance company can deny you coverage for having a pre-existing condition.
Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting for people like me and all of my friends and everybody else I know.
Now, extremist politicians are trying to take away our basic freedoms. But Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting back, protecting our freedom to choose and our right to vote.
A lot of people fought and died for these rights. My parents, my grandparents.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I am going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. They are fighting for me.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Well, I'm gonna get on that old turnpike and I'm gonna drive. I'm gonna leave this town till you decide which one you want the most, them opera stars or me. Milwaukee, here I come from Nashville, Tennessee. Milwaukee is where we were before we came here. Working in a brewery, making the finest beer. You come to me on a payday night, said let's go to Tennessee. So we came down to Nashville to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, this is Dolly Parton, right?
No, it's
Carter. All right, welcome back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah, is there voter fraud? I wonder. How about egregious gerrymandering? Ridiculous demanding and hard to get voter ID, atrociously demanding absentee ballot rules, like for instance in Wisconsin where a wife can't even hand in nor even legally mail her husband's ballot, purging tens of thousands from the voter rolls, moving voting places around, anti-voter laws like making it a crime to give food or water to people waiting in lines, removal of drop boxes, laws allowing replacement of nonpartisan election boards with partisan appointees, evidence-free litigation. Do I need to go on?
No, you're doing a great job. And the worst part about it is you can go on because there's much more.
Oh, yeah. It's a funny thing. It seems like only one political party seems to be doing this. That's all I'm going to say this morning. Have a good day.
Thank you very much for the call.
What's interesting in the cycle was that a decade ago, it was the Republican Party that was very interested in promoting the absentee ballot process. And then during COVID, they noticed that the absentee ballot process might work to their detriment instead of on a positive side. It used to be that it was the Republicans who had second homes who needed to make sure they had absentee ballot processes so they could vote back home. But then it turned around and suddenly mail-in ballots became a huge problem, you know, an integrity problem. It wasn't an integrity problem to start with, but it was when Democrats started using it.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I hope you'll keep me for a little bit, but
if you're going to address the issue, first off,
there is a difference between a recount and a investigation, an actual looking at the ballots and making sure they're true and true. The difference between the Constitution, the Wisconsin Constitution, all changes in the elections are supposed to go through the legislature. And when the Democrats took over the Supreme Court or the state Supreme Court, they just whitewashed that. They felt that they could sidestep that.
Hey, well, CJ, wait. Just now, wait a minute, CJ. Ballot. Well, just wait. We can fact check that. The decision that was made about the election, the last election, was made before the Democratic or the liberal justice was elected, and the vote that was cast was actually the important vote that was cast by a conservative justice. So it didn't have anything to do with the nature of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court was a conservative Supreme Court that ruled in favor of the election process.
But the issue is, CJ, we weren't talking about Wisconsin. This gentleman that's coming on is not here to talk about Wisconsin. He's here to talk about voter integrity across the nation.
But let's talk about Wisconsin. We're in Wisconsin, and CJ wants to talk about an investigation. Justice Gableman carried out a $1 million plus, well, I think it was $1.5 million price tag ultimately, a lengthy investigation, okay, after there had been a bunch of adjudications. And that investigation came up completely dry with respect to anything about the election or election fraud. So there was an investigation in Wisconsin, as well as numerous litigations about Wisconsin. And the ultimate adjudication in Wisconsin was carried out by a Supreme Court, which still had a conservative majority, but which, in fact, voted in favor of the election process.
Okay. How about the fact that 192 Democrats, this is national Senate and Congress, voted against the amendment that you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote.
No, wait, CJ. It already is law that you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in federal elections.
Conversation is nonsense.
No, because I think this is what we're going to be talking about with the fellow who calls in as well.
He's not going to be spouting nonsense.
Well, no, I think that the Republicans and Mike Johnson attempted to include a process in the bill that was designed to keep the government operating to outlaw something that is already against the law. It is not lawful for non-U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. federal elections. Why is that legislation necessary?
Do you believe that's right, Sandy?
I believe it's right. I know it's right.
Do you think that should be pulled?
Listen, thank you very much for the call. So the fact of the matter is, just because CJ and others say that, doesn't mean it's true. I mean, to waste time trying to, I think, to try to get CJ to admit that these things that he is saying somehow are happening overwhelmingly, it's not just not true. Yeah. All right. 855-752-4842 is the number. Susan, hang on. We'll get to you guys.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Northeast Wisconsin independent filmmaker J.B. Thompson, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins us with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.